This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Ladies, gentlemen, boys, girls, children of all ages, welcome to the Rod Brown Show on your radio. What day is it?
Friday, Friday, gotta get down on Friday.
Sure is. Totally forgot about that. Not gonna lie.
Sorry, I needed to adjust your standing up volume, which is different from your sitting down volume.
It's better. Better volume.
It's louder, for sure.
That's also true. Look at the swoop going on today.
I'll have to look on camera.
The volume, got the volume going.
Look at you. Pretty soon it's going to be covering the glasses, and you're going to be like Garth Brooks when he was that other guy.
Chris Gaines?
Yeah.
It's not a phase, Mom. It's not a phase. This is who I am. I'm a Chris Gaines guy. Welcome in, folks. Good to have you. Happy Friday morning. Snow expected later in the a.m. That's all. I just put it there. Let's just go ahead and get it out of the way.
Is it really?
About three and a half hours from now. Expected up to 3 inches of snow, which was, if you were
hold
with
on,
the show
hold
yesterday.
On. Are you joking?
No, I'm dead serious.
I didn't hear that. So, yeah. Which means we probably won't get anything. So.
Yeah, no, for sure. Completely unexpected. Yesterday, snow's enough it coats the ground outside. Expected today, won't see an inch. All I know is it snowed so hard yesterday that we stopped the show just to talk about it. The show ended at 10. I got done with what I needed to do here at about 11:15. I walked outside. If I told you it snowed, you'd have called me a liar.
Yeah, it was. I had a little bit of snow on the right side of my car. By the way, it's a balmy 21 degrees according to the weather app, which says there's no snow in the forecast. So I mean, you know, but
we'll find out.
It didn't say it yesterday either. So
we'll find out. So we'll talk about that. I
probably should listen to the weather that we actually play, you know, once or twice an hour.
You know, here's what I do know. What I do know is that without a doubt, the snow across the Atlantic seaboard yesterday was nothing more than a psyop put into place by the Canucks to distract the Americans from the Four Nations final, because that's the only way. That's not true. The Canadians did enough and the Americans didn't last night. Team Canada, 3-2 winners in overtime of the Four Nations face-off final. Look, the Americans played really good hockey for about 10 minutes to open that game, and then something happened.
All I know is I was sold a bill of goods, and so were a lot of people. Sold a bill of goods. All right.
What do you think you didn't get?
Well, I didn't get fights but I didn't watch the entire thing. I just watched the first period. There started to be one right at the beginning, and the referees or whatever they're called in hockey said nope.
There were a bunch of almost fights throughout the game. Not a bunch. There were four or five almost fights.
We, all the people who don't normally watch hockey, we tuned in to see some fights and we didn't see any.
Okay, here's what I want then. I need you to say you didn't tune in to watch hockey. You didn't tune in to watch hockey. You tuned in to watch fights.
I know, I'm
talking about the Royal. You're not you specifically. Okay. You did say that. I need those people to say, I didn't tune in for hockey. I tuned in to watch fights. Well, if you tune in to watch fights, go to YouTube and put in Anderson Silva and go watch some YouTube. There's some fights for you.
But here's the thing. So all the hype across all of sportsdom, which made some people go there who normally wouldn't go there to watch, this was your chance to hook people. And you didn't.
You didn't.
I was asleep fairly quick, very bored. As soon as I saw that the refs were going to call it the way they did, it's like, okay, this is just going to be a lot of back and forth with very little scoring, which is what hockey almost always is.
First off, no, it's not.
Okay.
Over-unders in the NFL or in the NHL this year averaging about 5.5. You're getting 5 or 6 goals a game.
Really?
Yeah.
Really?
You're getting 5 or 6 goals a game. So, here's what I'll
say. I know
say.
You're wearing a hockey jersey and you want to fight right now. I could tell.
I do
because
a little
bit. You're all antsy.
Not
because,
you in particular, just but, a lot
I mean,
of people.
You,
a lot of, you and a lot of people like you.
Okay, all right.
Here's the take. Here's the response from me then. Fights happen in hockey. Hockey are not fights. Fights happen in hockey. But if you tuned into that game last night, this is just the reality. If you tuned into that game last night and you tuned in to watch fights, then there's nothing that was going to hook you as a long-term hockey fan. If you tuned into that game and went, oh, we just played 20 minutes and nobody punched anybody else in the face, then I'm not hooking you on hockey and I don't care about you. That's kind of where that is, okay?
Fine. We all still love you, Rob.
I know, thanks.
I mean, you could not care about us, but you know it doesn't have to go both ways. It should.
I don't care about you as the person that I wanted to reach last night, okay? That's like Lonzo, if you were out there trying to sell, I'm trying to think of something I really dislike here. If you're out there trying to sell...
Children's books.
There you go. There you go. No, yeah. That's great. That's a great example. I'm happy to use it. Lonzo, if you went out there and you were trying to sell children's books, and I walked in and I picked one up and I looked through it, and you walked over and went, you have kids? And I went, no. And you say, do you like, the pink fluffy caterpillars? And I go, it's a good book, but no, not really. You would go, I'm wasting my time trying to sell to this man. Well, there's no point in this conversation to me.
First of all, bad analogy, because if I were selling children's books, first I would the first thing I would ask is, do you have children? And when you said no, then I would leave.
Right.
Because that would be pointless.
Right.
Here's the thing. Last night I told my wife, I was like, I'm gonna go lay down and watch in the bedroom. She's like, what are you watching? And I said, hockey. She said, what? Exactly.
But here's the thing.
Exactly.
You, respectfully, weren't watching hockey. You were watching for fights. That's not watching hockey. That's like the people who tune in to watch racing, but they go, nobody crashed. Well, you didn't turn in to watch a race. You tuned in to watch a crash.
Well, I was...
Does that fair? Does that make sense? That makes sense, right?
Yeah, but you still want those people tuning in, too. I was unaware that they were playing on American soil. If I knew that, I wouldn't have watched. Because I would have known that... The things that hyped them up the first time around would not be there, and it wasn't there, and they weren't hyped the way Canada was, and that's why Canada won.
I disagree. From a hockey perspective, from a hockey guy perspective. The jersey that I'm wearing, did you ever see Slapshot back in the day?
Yes.
Okay, so.
I saw it when it came out.
All right, so here's the thing.
You didn't.
No, I did not. I was not a thing yet. In the movie Slapshot, the team plays in the arena that the Johnstown Chiefs played in, which was an actual team. The Johnstown Chiefs are now the Greenville Swamp Rabbits. It's the same franchise. And so on Monday, the Swamp Rabbits did a throwback day, and they busted out the Johnstown Chiefs
logo. I was
going
to say, that looks brand new.
It is.
That's what I was going to say.
Got the bits patch on one side.
I didn't see the Swamp Rabbits patch. Yeah. Okay, that's nice.
Isn't it dope? Isn't it great? Yeah. And of course... Ba-bam!
Yeah, I couldn't see that because you're standing up. But I can imagine what it was.
So, all right, put that aside. Point is, I'm a hockey guy.
Don't put that aside. If you want to see the jersey.
Come to the stream, facebook.com/TheFanUpstate. The Fan Upstate on Twitch, on YouTube. The Rob Brown Show on YouTube, on Facebook, and on Twitch. Okay, as a hockey guy, what I loved about the Four Nations face-off was that we had four teams, Sweden, Finland, Canada, and the United States of America. And it was evident From puck drop of game number one, Canada versus Sweden, it was evident from the initial drop of the puck that not just was this best on best, the best players across the NHL from the four best hockey countries, arguably. Russia is not allowed to be here. The four best hockey countries on planet Earth. And it was very obvious, not just were these the best players on planet Earth, but they were playing. They wanted to win the damn thing. They wanted to win all three games in the round robin. They wanted to win a final. They all wanted to win it, which, if we go back to earlier this week when we were talking about the All-Star game, the reality is about 25% of the guys in the NBA All-Star game care if they win or lose that game. Every dude on the ice, all four countries, all four games, wanted to win the Four Nations faceoff. And to me, that translated to very good hockey. Not just very good hockey, but very good hockey being played by the best hockey players on the face of the planet. It was only fitting that the overtime winner for America's hat last night was netted by Connor McDavid, the best hockey player on the planet right now. So, respectfully, if you tuned into that game and you felt bored or disappointed or whatever because there weren't fights, the reality here is I'm not hooking you as a hockey fan. I'm not going to get you on Saturday when the NHL fires back up and we got a fistful of games on Saturday, including a couple of Stanley Cup candidates. I'm not convincing you to take time out of your day Saturday to watch NHL hockey, which is going to be a step back in terms of the overall talent, though the teams will be better because they're teams and they've been playing together for, 46 games or whatever it is. I wasn't going to hook you. I maybe could get you to tune in for the Olympics next year and watch some Olympics hockey, but I'm not getting you back in for the NHL. You're not who I've been excited about getting into hockey for the last couple of weeks. The folks that I've been excited about getting into the hockey were the folks who were going to get in because of the intensity of this tournament, because of the electricity of this tournament, because of the fact that you might have jumped in and went, oh man, they fought three times in 9 seconds in the Canada-US round robin game. And then you stuck around for the, 59 minutes and 51 seconds of hockey that came after that. And you went, hey, this game's actually pretty fun. This game's actually entertaining. This game's fast. This game's physical. This game takes talent and skill, but it also takes strength and brute force. You know who I was looking for? I was looking for the folks who text into this show on the reg and go, the NBA's boring because it's soft. I was looking for the people who text into this show on the reg and go, why don't they just put skirts on the quarterbacks nowadays? Those are the people I was looking for. And I was looking for those people because, good Lord in heaven, hockey's exactly the other way around. The boys are getting after it. So if you tuned in to the Four Nations final last night and you went, oh, they're not fighting, whatever, I'm not going to hook you anyway, but if you looked and you watched the round robin games, if you watched Canada-US on Saturday night and you went, okay, I could see myself being a hockey guy. I could see myself getting into this game. I could see this becoming something that becomes a hobby or whatever of mine, something I could be a fan of. I think you got a real good game last night. There were some parts in it that I was disappointed in. I think there were a few spots that Team USA were very panicky. I think there were some spots that they got a little frantic. I think there were some spots last night where Team USA arguably played their worst full strength game of this tournament. For it happens. Sometimes you can. That's why I like that Stanley Cups and NBA Finals are 7-game series, because it allows a good team, maybe the better team, it allows them to have an off night, but still be the better team over a period of time that allows them to win the championship. The best team's going to win in a 7-game series. I think, honestly, I think Team USA was a better team than Team Canada in this tournament. However, they did not have their best night last night. On the flip side, Canada, to me last night, didn't do anything special. They weren't remarkable. You know what they were? Efficient, clean, effective. They took advantage of Team USA mistakes, and Team USA kept them up. Team USA kept turning the puck over in the neutral zone. Team USA was too unselfish. We had too many guys that were getting apples up top of the zone with a look, and instead of just firing one at Binnington, instead of just firing one into the net, throwing it into traffic, and let's see what the chaos shakes up to look like. Let's challenge Jordan.
Okay, did you say apples?
Yeah, assist. That's a hockey term for assist.
Is it? Okay, yeah. That's the first time I've heard that.
Apples. I've said it on the show before.
I don't know. I don't think
so. But I also suspect that when I get deep enough into the hockey conversation that I start throwing the hockey words in there, I assume a lot of you guys just kind of tune out. And that's okay. That's okay. That's why we talk every sport here on the show, okay? Jordan Binnington last night did not face near... He faced 33 shots. He saved 31. And as far as I'm concerned, the Americans probably should have had 9-10 more shots on goal. They play... We've talked about this in other sports, too. There are times where players are too unselfish. There are times when players are too much of a team player. Sometimes I need a guy to put on the cape, to put the underoos on the outside, and to be a hero. And last night, the Americans did not have any heroes. You had a bunch of Hawkeyes and Black Widows and no Captain Americas and Thors. That was the problem. Too many times, the puck would be sent up to the top of the attacking third, and you'd have a guy that you'd go, have a go, have a rip. Shoot a rocket in there and let's see what happens in the chaos. And they would take it and then send it over for one more pass around. That's not it. On the flip side, the Canadians figured that out. They're turning it over in the neutral. When they get down to our end, they're all making the extra pass, sometimes to the detriment of the offense. So let's get them on the counter. Let's rush them back the other way. Let's get them out of sorts. And what happened was, because Canada was playing effectively on the counterattack, Team USA started playing off the back foot. They started dropping back a little bit. They were so afraid of the Canuck counter that they stopped doing what they did. They got them there. That's been like the tone of championship games going back to the World Series of last year. Dance with the girl that brought you. If you lose, you lose. But play the style of game that got you here in the first place. And it felt like Team USA got out of sorts. They got panicky. They were physical as hell for about 15 minutes of hockey. And then they stopped. There were a couple of guys putting dudes into the boards and everybody else backed off. And as soon as they backed off, it's like, it doesn't feel like the same game. And oh, by the way, if you're in overtime, it's golden goal. First score wins. Maybe don't let the best player on planet Earth be wide open in front of the damn goal. Guys, what are we doing?
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Alo, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Alo, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
The details behind the Diddy indictment. Taylor Swift's stalkers. Jerry Lee trying to kill Elvis. Disgraceland dives into the dark side of entertainment every Tuesday. Follow and listen to Disgraceland on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I got a text yesterday during Wire to Wire. And I appreciate Dewey signing the text, but Dewey texted very simply, Rob Brown should be fired. That's it. That's the whole text. Signed, Dewey. Thanks, Dewey. I got to tell you.
Ooh, I wonder what you did.
I don't know.
Or were they talking about you? And that was in response to them talking about you.
I do know that they talked about one thing, which is they had Don Munson, the voice of the Clemson Tigers, on yesterday. Diesel texted me last night at like 10 o'clock. He's like, yo, did you listen today? I was like, a little bit, but it was a little bit later towards the end of the show. And he goes, we had Don on. I said, that's awesome. I said, what'd he say? I thought it was going to be, you know, something Clemson football related that we'd have to get to today. And he said, we had Don Munson on, and while he was on hold, Zoe, he said the promo in which you and I sing the Real American Hulk Hogan song played. And he said, I asked Don Munson what he thought about y'all's performance of the Hulk Hogan's theme song, and he said Don just cracked up. Don just chuckled at it. And I was like, it's good enough. It's all I want for. So I don't know if it's because of the fact that we sing the Real America, like we sing wrestling theme songs on the show.
Well, we know that it had nothing to do with us singing that. It had to do with the fact that Russia sucks and they banned us for singing the song.
Not just Russia.
And Belarus.
Like the entire axis of evil.
Yeah, it was the entire axis of evil, which is it's a badge of honor is what that is.
I'm not upset about it. I feel real good
but
about
I seriously
it.
Doubt that's what it is. They had to talk about something else for them to want you for the texter to want you fired.
Yeah, I mean straight up, it was
Dewey.
It was wild.
You think that was Dwayne?
I don't know,
because Dwayne Johnson, you know, his nickname is Dewey.
I thought his nickname was The Rock.
No. His real nickname is Dewey. So maybe Dwayne.
I gotta tell you, I kind of gotta go find it, right? Like I kind of gotta go find what Don said about that. But yeah, straight up walking here this morning, getting set everything up, open up the text line. One of the first one that pops up from the end of their show yesterday was Rob Brown should be fired. I kind of want to passive aggressively text him back and be like, turns out I wasn't.
Well, not the first person to text that, I'm sure.
Probably not the first person that texted it yesterday. All right, let's keep going with the final to last night's Four Nations face-off. What went wrong for Team USA? Well, first off, and I think the biggest thing was Matthew Tkachuk was limited in that game. Got the start, played a good chunk. Something happened. We have not heard what it was. Matthew Tkachuk, obviously one half of the Bash Bros, the Tkachuk Bros. Matthew Tkachuk last night got banged up at some point during the game, came back onto the bench, and going into the end of the second period, he had only had like 6 minutes and some change of ice time. And the report came out that he was limited for the remainder of the game, was available, but that Team USA would only use him in certain situations and circumstances. Now, my assumption was that Matthew Tkachuk would come off the bench if Team USA went on the power play, right? You can isolate him up at the point. You can put him up top. You can play through him and kind of limit the amount of physical damage he would take if he was banged up. As PK Subban said yesterday on the show, not on our show, on his show, but we played it on the show. This was a, are you hurt or are you injured kind of situation. Are you hurt? You're banged up, you're sore, or are you injured? You physically can't go. And Matthew Tkachuk clearly was injured, wanted to go. There was one power play in that game last night. I'll give the boys that. It was a clean game. One power play in that game last night. Killed off by the Americans. That was a big problem. Second big problem Team USA had was the narrative about the Canadian keeper Jordan Binnington was that Jordan Binnington is the type of keeper for the St. Louis Blues who is going to, every game, give up one goal that makes you go, what the was that. But he's going to make four or five saves that you're like, dude, that's why the dude's an all-star. That dude's Superman. Jordan Binnington last night was spectacular. Spectacular. 33 shots against, two goals allowed, 31 saves, a 94% save percentage. Faced no power plays, played all 68 minutes and 18 seconds of hockey. In the overtime period, I was actually watching this game with Chris Lewis and Doug Irwin from the Triumph, both huge hockey guys. They invited me over to watch it, and I was like, eh, why not? So I went, was watching it with Chris and Doug, and we got halfway through the third period, and the conversation between us was, Team USA doesn't have any heroes right now. You want to play good, clean team hockey. Team whatever sport. You want to play good, clean team whatever sport. But sometimes somebody's got to take over. Somebody's got to do something special. Somebody's got to do something that stands out, that excels, that hammers the accelerator, that turns on the afterburner, and that gets everybody to go, bang, there's the moment. That's our guy. We're following that guy. And as I said back in the last period, you absolutely had none of that from Team USA. You had guys playing, and it's hilarious to talk about this, when we talk every day about how important sports is to developing youths of America, to teach them how to be a good teammate and how to be unselfish, et cetera, et cetera. It's interesting to be sitting here in this spot and going, I needed somebody to be selfish. I needed somebody to want to be a superstar. I needed somebody to want to get their name in the damn newspaper, because Team USA didn't have that. And so it just felt like an unselfish team that wasn't taking the amount of shots they should have taken from the spots they should have taken them. But we get to the overtime period. Team USA's got a couple of chances. Auston Matthews, the captain, is all of the sudden looking like Auston Matthews, the captain. I mean, playing good hockey, playing on the forecheck. We're not just, as we did for a lot of this game, dumping the puck down into the third and then chasing it. You know, there are spots, I've complained about this in soccer many times, there are spots where one team can look at the other team and can go, we're just better than you are. We're just going to out-athlete you. We're just going to knock the ball back there. We're going to be faster than you to get to it. We're going to be better than you at maneuvering it around, and that's going to win this game. You were taking on the best hockey team in the world, Team Canada, last night. And it felt like two out of every three American possessions was just clear the puck to the other end, then we'll race Team Canada down there, and we'll try to out-physical them off the puck. Yeah, it's not going to happen. They got some of the fastest skaters on the world, and every shift on every line. Not going to happen. So it got to the point where that strategy wasn't working. We go to overtime. Auston Matthews finally starts to look like Auston Matthews. He is playing on the forecheck. He's playing out front. He's getting out ahead of the puck. He's carrying the puck into the zone instead of just whacking it down to the other end and everybody chasing it. It looked good. And Auston Matthews had a possession about 3 minutes into the overtime, 4 minutes into the overtime period, where he had two really good back-to-back shots on goal. One from the left side, then another one over towards the right center. But Jordan Binnington did what he does. He gave up a goal earlier in the game that you went, oh, you shouldn't have given that one up. That's going to lose you the game. And then he became whatever Canada's favorite superhero is. I guess technically they get Wolverine. Then he suddenly became a superhero. Made a blocker save on the right. Puck then wraps its way around to the left side of the goal. Matthews gets a shot off that, when I say I couch popped. Because I'm like, that's it. That's the game winner, right? Off the couch, hit the Tiger Woods. Maybe on me. A little preemptive, all right? Gave the Tiger Woods fist pump. I'm like, bang, there it is, Four Nations final. Doug Irwin and I were having a conversation where we both said going into that, if we win this game, we're both ordering Team USA jerseys of whoever scores the game winner, right? Whoever it is, we're ordering the jersey. It was like $180 on Fanatics. I was like, we win this tournament, whatever, I'm in. I thought that was it. I'm like, that's it. Getting an Auston Matthews jersey. Jordan Bennington turns back left, dives to the other side, is 3 feet off the ground, completely vertical, reaches out, makes the save. It was unbelievable. In that moment, I went, we can't win this game. Can't win this game. If that guy is making that save on that shot from maybe America's best player, we can't win this game. Jordan Bennington was a brick wall all of a sudden. And then the American defense broke down. And I assume it was out of frustration. I assume it was out of, I don't know, panic. But we got a face off on the American end. The Canucks work it around the goal, and all of a sudden, our defense is chasing the puck. All of a sudden, our guys are trying to get to the puck instead of playing their spots. Connor McDavid finds himself with the puck right in front of Hellebuck, wide open, sets it up, puts a laser upper right 90 that I think is still traveling somewhere in the abyss. Canada wins. Team USA panicked. The puck didn't go their way. They stopped dancing with the girl they brought him. Canada wins the Four Nations. Later on in the show, I'm going to talk about why this tournament was such a success. Even without the trophy, even without the gold medals, it was still a wild success for the Americans. You know what else? I'm going to say objectively awesome. You may disagree. Last night, 40-year-old, because there's nothing wrong with being 40, and you can be excellent when you are 40. I'm not saying that for any particular reason. 40-year-old LeBron James, who did turn 40 back in December, he is older than I am, makes me feel real good, dropped the 40 burger in a 110-102 win over the Portland Trail Blazers. LeBron James is now the only player in the history of the National Basketball Association with multiple 40-point games after turning 40 years of age. He's got two of them. The Lakers are 2-0 when LeBron has scored 40 after 40. He was doing the post-game presser. And it's not playing because my technology hates me. He was doing the post-game presser. And after the presser was over, Austin Reeves walked up behind him. I don't know why it's not going to do it. Why not? Austin Reeves walked up behind him and said, 40 bomb, old ass, which is just a great clip. And in just a couple of days, is going to hurt me. In a way, it doesn't hurt me today.
All right, LeBron, a 40.
40 bomb, old ass.
Old ass. I have said this a couple of times this season. And some of you are good with it. Some of you not good with it. What we are seeing out of LeBron James is spectacular. It just is. I said earlier this week, and I stand on this, because I do believe that you are allowed to have differing opinions on things. I was spectacularly disappointed in LeBron James this weekend. Somebody floated a theory, and I think it's an interesting one. I don't think it's right. But somebody floated a theory that the reason that LeBron removed himself from the All-Star game, and not only removed himself from the All-Star game, but didn't really participate in anything, with the exception of the All-Star team photo shoot, where he showed up, stood front and center of his All-Star team holding a basketball in street clothes. All the other guys in their All-Star game unis. He's in street clothes. It's frankly, it's a very awkward picture. Pulled himself out just a little while before the game. Didn't give enough time for them to get somebody else in there. Forced his team, his OG team, to play with seven guys instead of eight. And I was disappointed in that. So there's a theory that's floating around on the interwebs right now that this was a business decision for LeBron James. Why? The NBA All-Star Game, going into the weekend, there were a lot of folks asking the question, does anybody care? Does anybody care? Is anybody going to watch it? Is anybody going to tune in? And the answer to those questions were no, nobody cares and nobody's going to tune in. And I do think that to some degree, at least for those of us that are dorks with microphones, I do think to some degree the NHL's a little bit to blame, because credit to the NHL, while all of that was going on, the Four Nations face-off was taking place, and it was electric boogie-woogie-woogie. So the theory going around on the internet right now is LeBron James bailed on this All-Star game because he wants to play one more season. He's going to play a season in which he will enter at 40, and he will play the back half of the season at 41 years of age. It will allow him to add a handful more records onto the record books. It will allow him to continue to pile on to his all-time scoring title. It would allow him to do all these things that nobody's ever done before and to potentially take a few more records away from some legends of the game who just didn't have the longevity that LeBron James had. What's that got to do with the All-Star game? The All-Star game ratings, while I do not have the official numbers yet, down. Nobody cared. Even with all the gimmicks, even with all the changes, nobody cared. Well, next year, the thought is, according to this theory, and I'm interested to see if any of you buy into it. The theory is that next year, the NBA will have a new format of All-Star Game. Will it be Team USA versus Team Everybody Else? Will it go back to East-West? Will it go back to drafted teams? Who knows? But the thought is the NBA will restructure the All-Star game next year to try to make it, what's the word I'm looking for here, good and worth my time. Next year would theoretically.
That's technically more than one word.
Yeah, I know. It was a joke.
Say it.
Theoretically, next year would be LeBron James' final All-Star game. Theoretically. And so the thought right now is this was a business decision from LeBron James so that next year, in a year where the NBA, we'll see, will theoretically put in the effort to make the NBA All-Star game competitive, good, and worth my time, LeBron can come in and go, this is my last All-Star game, guys. I'm done after this year. I'm taking a walk. This is the last time you'll see me as an All-Star. And even if the All-Star game isn't necessarily your cup of tea, if you're a basketball guy, like him or hate him, the thought is, I got to tune in to watch LeBron's final ASG. And it's basically LeBron utilizing the hype machine that he has built by being LeBron James. I don't know that I'm in on the theory, but I also don't think I'm out on the theory. Because it is not a secret that LeBron James is business first. He goes out, he has his fun and all that. A couple of years back, LeBron started doing these videos and live streams where he would live stream Taco Tuesday. You know that thing that all of us have said and done since tacos were invented, and we went, oh, wait a minute. Taco Tuesday is alliteration and also a delicious meal. I've been doing Taco Tuesdays for as long as I can remember. LeBron started doing streams on Taco Tuesdays, and what did he do? He tried to trademark Taco Tuesday. Tried to trademark it. Nobody else could use Taco Tuesday. Now, for the record, I'm not mad at him. People try to trademark stuff all the time. Listen, that other people use all the time. Am I right, Zohio State?
I was going to say that's the thing to do.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm not mad at him for it. But the point is, business is always first. LeBron James, I don't know if he's there yet, but he's going to be a billionaire with a B, a billionaire. Don't know if he's there yet. Don't really care. But he's going to be. And as I've said a bunch of times, if you want to be a billionaire with a B on the front end, money has to be your first and only objective. You can have a family and you can love your kids and you can do all that. But when it comes to any decision made outside of your house and the majority of them in that, it's got to be money first. And LeBron James is that guy. I don't fault him for it.
Is it possible that maybe LeBron looked around and went, man, this is going to be really bad this year. I don't think I want to be a part of this.
Yeah, it's certainly possible. I mean, the timing of it, the fact that he bailed a couple of hours before the game lends that to being a possible conclusion. Absolutely. He might have looked and went, nobody's going to care. Nobody's going to watch. So therefore, I'm not sticking my name on this. Because again, business first always for LeBron James. Not judging him for it. He's a billionaire. The game clearly worked when he played it that way. But the thought is, he may have, because I don't know how many people. I don't know if it's a few dozen, a few hundred, a few thousand, a few million. I am sure that there's at least some group of people that said, well, if LeBron's not playing, I'm not watching. I don't think it would have been necessarily a large enough swath of basketball viewership that it would have changed the NBA All-Star game from failure to success, but I'm sure they were out there to some degree. The theory right now is that LeBron James knows next year's his last year, therefore next year is his next All-Star game. By leaving himself on the roster, not removing himself until a couple of hours before the game, LeBron James ensured that he will be called an All-Star, which makes it what, his like 20th or 19th All-Star selection? He ensured he stays listed as an All-Star. His name is on the roster even if he didn't play, but he gets to come back next year with, and I will say, fingers crossed, an emphasis from the National Basketball Association to make that game great again. LeBron comes back. The NBA actually finds a way to make it competitive. LeBron plays in it. And LeBron gets to do his farewell tour in front of maybe the most attended and viewed All-Star game in recent memory. And to some degree, take credit for that. Now, none of that is the point of this. The point of this is LeBron James came back from the All-Star break. The Lakers lost to the Charlotte Hornets two nights ago in L.A., first game back from the break. That was a game that had to be rescheduled because of the L.A. wildfires. They make that game up. Braun has an okay game, has a good game, but had not one but two opportunities in the closing minutes of that game to knock down a three-point shot that would have sent that game to overtime. He missed both of them. How does he respond to that? He comes out last night. He drops a 40 ball, old ass, on Portland. He wins the game, and he becomes the first player in the history of the NBA to have multiple 40-point games after turning 40 years of age. Nobody's done it, not even Mike.
That would be because Michael Jordan at that age, he was not very good.
Washington was not very good.
Yeah, he was not very good.
I mean, he was still Mike mentally.
That probably bothers some people. I mean,
wasn't Mike physically.
He had diminished to the point where people were going, please stop playing because you're hurting your legacy. They're not really saying that about LeBron. I'm just saying.
You're not wrong.
I'm just saying.
So, here's the thought, the takeaway I had last night after I got done watching the Four Nations face-off final. Laying my sweet little head down to sleep, scrolling around the interwebs, and watching LeBron get a 40 burger. I am very disappointed in LeBron's decision-making process leading up to the ASG. I have been beyond impressed by what LeBron James is doing at 40 years of age. I was disappointed in a couple of days of LeBron this season, but overall, LeBron James at 40 years old, you should be watching him. Even if you don't like him, you should be watching him because what he's doing right now is beyond special. Over the last two games that he has put up 40, Luka Doncic has largely been a non-factor. 14 points, I believe 7 boards and 6 assists is his average stat line since he became a Laker. Now, those numbers are going to be a little bit diminished because those first couple of games as a Laker, he was on limited minutes. He was on a minutes restriction. Last night, he played 33 minutes. He had 14, 6, and 8, right at his average as a Laker in 33 minutes of action. And there was a lot of standing around for Luka Doncic. And people were panicking. Like, uh-oh, they don't have a two-man game. LeBron can't share the ball. Guys, he's been a Laker for what, 2 weeks now? He's played what, 4 games now, 5 games now with this team? You are putting him up against not just a 40-year-old LeBron James. You're just putting him up against LeBron James. LeBron at 40 is turning in a season that most guys would be thrilled to turn in at 25, 26.
There's also the fact that when LeBron is on it, you just get out of the way. Most of the time, he's dishing the ball out. He's sharing with people. That's what he's done his entire career. But when he has a game where he's on fire, the best thing to do is feed him the ball and get out of the way.
I don't disagree. I will say this. LeBron James, in the way that he's playing basketball in 2024-25, when LeBron James has taken over a game, more often than not, it's because nobody else on that team is. LeBron James wants to be an assist guy. He's averaging like 11 to 14 assists right now per game. It's ridiculous.
Yeah, I was going to say, and Frank points this out, I think he may have looked at the stats wrong, but Luka didn't play.
Okay, then the Charlotte game, 33 yeah. minutes, 14, yeah. whatever it was.
Luka, I think, had a shoulder or something.
Yeah. Well, is probably smoking the hookah and drinking the beer, you know, as the 25-year-olds do.
It was Thursday. That's what you, I think that's
so. You're right. Thank you very much, Frank. It was the Charlotte game, 33 minutes, 14 points, average stat line. I think it drives the point home even more. They're going to figure that thing out. I said on Tuesday night on BetMGM, Lakers are not just making the playoffs. Lakers will host a playoff series. Maybe just one, but they will. Because they're going to figure this out. I saw the panic last night about Luka Doncic. Relax. He's playing along with LeBron James, who at 40 years of age, has become the first player to put up multi-40 burgers after turning 40. The guy is still one of the best 10 players in the NBA. So is Luka Doncic. It's going to take some time for them to figure out what they are. But as long as Bron is going to keep putting up 40 burgers until Luka figures out what the organic place in this offense is, until J.J. Redick figures out how to draw up on the diagram the best way for these guys to play a two-man game, they're going to be fine. They're going to be fine. And if you're not watching LeBron, even if it's because you dislike him, like I said, I was super disappointed in him last weekend. If you're not watching LeBron in the season that he's having at 40 years of age, I am saying, quite frankly, you're missing out on history. That's just objective. Don't care how you feel about him personally, on the floor, off the floor, whatever. If you're not watching him right now, you are missing out on a historic NBA season. He is still him. Speaking of NBA, Victor Wembanyama in the news. We're going to talk about him in the next segment, the water cooler cheat sheet. We'll talk about the Four Nations face-off final as we run through the top three sports stories coming up next. Segment after that, Doug Irwin, the CBO, Chris Lewis, the president of the Greenville Triumph, are going to join us on our live stream. We told you yesterday the USL looking at propping up a league that would rival MLS and would engage in promotion relegation, which I think is wonderful. For America and for the Greenville Triumph, well, the Greenville Triumph are part of that league. And Chris and Doug will come by to tell us what that means for that team and for us as a community. And after that, the show's yours, kids. Whatever you want to get to, whatever you want to talk about, we'll get to it.